Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Some of my sources are telling me that Dave took off today for training for the big showdown at the Beach Bash on Friday. So that is quickly approaching. Now, I can't confirm that, but much like Woj or an Adam Schefter, I just throw the information out there and you do with it what you will. 1-800-919-ESPN. I'm not sure that that's what they do. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. And, of course, we are on Twitter, at Gordon Damer. What a perfect day to host a sports talk show. You have NBA free agency about to tip off, the one unpredictable time during the NBA calendar. You have a report that James Dolan might be thinking of selling the Knicks. Is there any one decision you think that would get sports fans in New York City more excited than if James Dolan were to sell the Knicks? Now, I'm not saying that that would fix all the ills of the Knicks or that they'd go on and win a championship or something. But is there one decision anywhere in this town that you could come up with that would make more people happy immediately? But that's not all. You got Tim Tebow, possibility that he's going to get called up by the Mets. Yoenis Cespedes. Apparently he's someplace. We don't really know where. Where in the world is Yoenis Cespedes? And is he ever going to play for the Mets again? That's a good question. Good question. But I guess where we should begin is with the baseball, right? Because if you ever needed a day to provide a snapshot of what baseball in New York is like in 2018, then last night was your day. If you had the ability to time travel, if that was a thing, and for some reason, I don't know why you would if you had the ability to time travel, but if you were so bored with all the other interesting aspects of time travel, if you wanted to say, you know what? What was baseball like in New York City in 2018? Well, then yesterday would have been the ideal day to drive the DeLorean back to. Last night provided you everything that you would need to know. You have the Yankees, and you have the Mets. Last night in the Bronx, Yankees beat the Red Sox 8-1, battle for first place. The renewal of the rivalry between these two teams. And look, if you're a Yankee fan, just what you wanted. Everything that you wanted. You have the young guys coming up and stepping up. Miguel Andujar, Gleyber Torres just keep rolling right along. Andujar had three hits and a home run, three ribbies. Torres, 2 for 3. 5 for 7 between the two of them. 4 ribbies, couple runs scored. And I'm glad that people are finally catching on that Gleyber Torres and Miguel Andujar are not getting traded. The Yankees are not going to trade either of those guys. Those guys, if they're going anywhere, it's the All-Star game. Generally, people who are in the running for Rookie of the Year do not get traded while they're in their rookie season. I'm sure maybe it's happened at some point throughout baseball history, right? They've been playing it for 150 years. But I don't think it's going to happen this year. And I don't think it's going to happen with either Gleyber Torres or Miguel Andujar. But, of course, the good stories for the Yankees don't end there. You have Aaron Judge, the overlooked superstar, a giant in his field, and yet somehow he's still overlooked. And yet, I think it's possible, even with his numbers being as great as they are, he really hasn't gotten that stretch yet where you say, wow, he's just on fire. And you know it's going to come at some point. And then you have Greg Bird last night, 2 home runs. The Yankees are on this incredible pace, on pace to win basically, what, 105, 106 games this year. And yet, despite all the wins, really have not gotten anything all season out of either Gary Sanchez, who's on the DL, or Greg Bird. They've got nothing out of either of those two guys. And it just so happens when Brandon Drury shows up, all of a sudden, Greg Bird starts hitting again. And that's just what the Yankees would love to see. Love to see Greg Bird start to get rolling here. Couple of hits last night, so maybe this is the time where he finally starts to put things together. Now that he's healthy, now that he's back in there. And maybe he's going to start being one of these guys. It seems like every single day, it really hasn't been a thing this year with the Yankees where it's been this guy night after night. Some nights it's Torres, some nights it's Andujar, some nights it's been Aaron Hicks or Brett Gardner, Judge. So maybe now Greg Bird is going to be one of these guys that starts getting rolling. So everything's good. And then you have CC Sabathia, which is an incredible story in his own right. Think about where CC Sabathia was 2013, 2014, 2015. Really seemed kind of washed up. Over a three-year span, had an ERA probably of about five. A whole lot of innings, a guy who has struggled with his weight. And for him to turn his career around to this extent, 18 seasons in at 37. And this was a thing when Mussina retired. You have to wonder, if CC keeps pitching like this, he's pretty close to being 100 games over 500 in his career. And generally, I don't believe that there's that. Now, Mussina is, but he's going to get in eventually. Any pitcher who winds up 100 games over 500 gets into the Hall of Fame. And CC Sabathia, I think he's like maybe one or two games below that in his career. So another interesting thing there with CC, and the talk, of course, about the Yankees as well. They got to add a starter. They have to. They need to. They're desperate. I think they're doing all right even without the starter. But look, you'd like for them to be able to add somebody who can start a playoff game for you. But make no mistake, you're really only talking about one spot where you're going to add that starter. It's not going to be replacing Severino. Assuming he gets healthy and stays healthy, it's not going to be Masahiro Tanaka. And with the way that CC Sabathia pitches, and pitches especially against the Red Sox, it's amazing. It's not going to be, that spot's not going to be taken for in place of CC Sabathia. No, you're talking about replacing one guy who is very hit or miss, and unfortunately a lot of times has been missed, especially at home, who gets the start today. A game you can hear right here on 98.7 FM, ESPN New York, and that would be Sonny Gray, who gets the start for the Yankees against the Red Sox. So, look, everything is flying high for the Yankees. Everything's rolling right along. So now, I guess, but what, basically a statistical dead heat between the Yankees and the Red Sox. And I said yesterday coming into this series, really, anything less than 2 of 3 for the Yankees would be kind of disappointing. They're at home. I know the Red Sox have their big pitchers lined up, but between Eduardo Rodriguez and David Price, the way the Yankees have mastered him, you would think that you'd be able to take 2 out of 3 in this series. Now, as long as, you know, the Yankees don't get swept, which they're not going to do, it would be fine. They'll survive. But if they could take 2 of 3, that's a good weekend. And with the way the Yankees have won series in and series out, that I think has to be the goal. So while the Yankees are flying high, the Mets, on the other hand, are not. Nowhere close. It's like that Seinfeld episode where Jerry and Elaine are flying somewhere. I don't remember where they were flying, but a seat opens up in first class. And before they can even think about it, Jerry grabs a seat in first class. And Elaine is stuck to ride in coach. And Jerry's experience in first class is nothing but fantastic. They got the fudge on the bottom of the sundaes. It's like an English garden in that bathroom. Is that gardenias? Is that lilac? I think I smelled some lilac. Yeah. That's the Yankees. The Yankees are Jerry in first class. The Mets are Elaine sitting back in coach. Because everything that can go wrong is going wrong. Even some things that you didn't even think could go wrong over the course of this season. Things that you could not even foresee going wrong are going wrong. And the Mets at this point, when I was a kid, one of the very first jobs I had was as a busboy slash dishwasher slash whatever at a restaurant. Le Bistro was the name of it. And Le Bistro was a disaster. And at some point, somebody said to me that worked there, you know, it's amazing with all the things that go on here that they're even able to get the lights on in the morning. And sometimes that phrase, man, it's amazing they sometimes can even get the lights on in the morning, refers to the Mets. Because they are a mess. It's a mess that just keeps getting worse. And at this point, the record is almost secondary. Like, the losses all kind of run together after a while. You flip on the TV if the game's already on. You flip it, oh, the Mets are losing already. Well, that's over. We'll try again tomorrow. And yesterday it comes down that Jacob deGrom is going to miss the start because of a family slash a personal issue. So it was Corey Oswalt that got the start last night. And as I said, the games at this point are almost secondary. Because the bigger story is Yoenis Cespedes, who was apparently set to meet the team after being away from the team for so long and then doesn't just, for whatever reason, take it what you will, doesn't meet the team. Away from the team because of his strained hip. And the Mets say that it was their decision. It was their decision to have him not meet the team because they didn't want to take away from his rehab. His rehab, from all accounts, is basically stretching. He can't go stretch a couple miles down the road, see his teammates? That's impossible. That's too much to ask. And Cespedes missed half the games the Mets played last year. He's played less than half the games, I think, this year. And you take a look at that contract. Boy, oh boy, that could be one of the worst contracts in baseball. And there's a lot of them. But making $29 million this year, next year, and the following year, and as if you needed it, has a full no-trade clause, as if anybody would trade for that anyway. The Mets are now 5-20 in June, and the fewest wins in the National League. And we asked on Friday, what had a better chance of happening by Monday? The Yankees in first place or the Mets in last place? Well, I don't know if it's going to be by Monday. Who knows? Maybe the Mets will step into one, and I mean, they are playing the Marlins. But the Mets are going to be in last place at some point. Barring some unforeseen, shocking change of events, the Mets are going to be in last place very, very soon. If it's Monday, if it's Tuesday, if it's Wednesday, sometime next week, it's coming. And I don't think it'll be a shock to anyone at this point now because the team is clearly going through the motions. There are so many depressing stats, so many depressing numbers. And we said it last week, it remains the same. The most depressing number with the way the Mets are playing right now is they still have 83 games to go. 83 more of them. 83, not 50, not 30. 83! They're not even at the halfway point. As bad as it's gotten, can you imagine how much worse it will get?
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Look, the Yankees, if they win the division, that certainly is the goal right now. But it's pretty clear at this point, Yankees are going to have an unbelievable summer, an unbelievable season, and how it ends up, we'll see. That's how the Yankee seasons get decided, whether or not they're a good season. It's not simply making the playoffs, it's what you do when you get into the playoffs. The Mets season, that's going to be entertaining, but for a whole different reason. And it was interesting yesterday that Brian Cashman, he kind of held his little 10-minute, 15-minute State of the Yankees thing as the Yankees were getting set to face off against the Red Sox and happened to mention that he's talking about trades with teams and mentioned how the Mets are one of those teams that he's talked to, that he's spoken to Omar Minaya. Now, look, the Mets have a lot of GMs to kind of talk to, but he's spoken to Omar and that the lines of communication are open. And it's certainly gotten some eyebrows raised by people. I would think, though, and I've never been a GM, but I would think that Brian Cashman's job is kind of to talk to all the people in baseball, kind of. Well, anybody who's in a decision-making position with other organizations, and that would include the Mets. So the fact that it's almost like the story the other day, the Yankees had a scout watching Michael Fulmer. Well, I would think that they probably have scouts looking at a lot of people right now. I would like to think that they're looking at all their possible options to adding to the rotation before the trade deadline comes up in basically a month. Yeah, so that's not really that surprising to me. But the fact that Brian Cashman reached out and has spoken to Omar Minaya, I do feel like the fact that he made that public, at least in some ways, is putting a little bit of pressure on the Mets. Almost saying, well, look, you know, I'm willing to make a deal. I don't know if they're going to be willing to make a deal, but I'm here. I'm willing to talk about whatever you want to talk about if it comes to one of the pitchers. Now, I don't think that this is going to wind up with Jacob deGrom getting traded to the Yankees. I think most reasonable people realize that that's not going to happen. It could never happen. The Mets would never trade Jacob deGrom to the Yankees. And when you're talking about the Mets starters, make no mistake, that's the only guy. Like, whenever Syndergaard pitches again, hey, great, but let me know when that is. He's been out now for quite some time because of a finger that was sore to the touch. Not exactly, you know, something severe, but he's been out a long time as a result of it. So the only guy you're really talking about trading that's healthy and is an upgrade is DeGrom. But that's not going to happen. We've kind of detailed all the reasons for that, be it that the Mets wouldn't trade Jay Bruce or Lucas Duda. How about the fact, remember when the Yankees acquired Stanton One of the first stories you saw was that Fred Wilpon was, I can't use the actual word, was very upset, was very angry that the Yankees had gone out and acquired the National League MVP. And that was a guy that wasn't even on his team. And he was upset that the Yankees got that guy. So now we're to believe somehow, some way, and I think most people, I mean, as I said, most reasonable people know that's never going to happen. The Mets would never allow that to happen. But it was interesting that Brian Cashman had at least brought that up. And in terms of Mets trades, you know, I think the people now that Sandy Alderson made his decision has stepped away and the Mets kind of have a new trio leading the way. I'm sure before the trade deadline comes up, the Mets will probably make some moves. But I think it's going to be in the J. Reese Familia, Asdrubal Cabrera, maybe Steven Matz kind of mode, much more than it's going to be Jacob DeGrom. I don't think that that is a move that the Mets would make, and it's certainly not going to be one that they make with the Yankees. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Let's go out to some phones this morning. We'll start things off with Spike in Jersey. Spike, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, good morning, my friend. Just a quick remark on the Yankees, how C.C. Sabathia, it seems like he pitches better the heavier he is, but I heard he goes through quite a regimen in getting ready. I was telling Todd, he throws that junk up there and really keeps you off balance. That was brilliant last night. I mean, I can't get the umpiring. I'm still confused on what a strike for both teams. It's horrible. But he gave you a terrific performance. And I think Sonny Gray's going to pitch good. Yankees are loaded. They're just so loaded. I was talking to the boys yesterday, and I said, they could go on a 14-game, 40-home-run tear like nothing. Now the bottom of the lineup hits, now the top of the lineup hits. Look, it's a long season. I'm of the theory that, being a Yankee fan, that those last three games are going to be meaningless. I think someone's going to get hot and pull away. And then you're going to go through the diatribe of the one game. Hey, Liz, it'll be great. 78 was one game. I don't know. I think
I'm old enough to remember.
Yeah,
sure.
Right, boy,
sure.
So, I mean, listen, he gave you, he's amazing after losses, right? He has some incredible record after that. So, I mean, you watch the kids, and then you hear the people call, you know, nut jobs like me, making trades. Just sit chilly, you're fine. Get one pitcher to win you one game. They got Verlander, they got lucky, because he wasn't pitching that great when they got him.
No, right? He's been lights out since
right.
They did.
So, and then what do you got to do? You do what Houston did in the seventh game. You pitch one guy three innings, and then you go to the whole formula has changed, the whole thing. I wanted to ask you a personal question. You had a bulldog, and I had fireworks last night in my town. Being a pet sitter, one dog freaked out in the bathtub. Did your bulldog react to the loud noises?
The bulldog did not. We've had a couple of dogs. The one we have now, I mean, look, he's one of the dented cans. We got him as a rescue. So, I mean, if I put an envelope past him, he starts to freak out. So, I mean, he's got, no, the bulldog never cared about the fireworks.
Hey, but this one does.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh my God. This one, if anything happens, if somebody closes the door, he's freaked out. He thinks everybody's gonna leave him. You know, you gotta help him out, but.
They got things to help out. But did your town have its fireworks yet?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm in bed. Unfortunately, Spike, I'm in bed before the fireworks. I'm only worried about the fireworks waking me up. Never mind the dog. I don't think my town has had their fireworks yet. My son is, my son's 10, so he's right in the fireworks mode. So, he'll keep me informed of when the fireworks. It could be fireworks three towns over at 3 o'clock in the morning. My son will be up out of bed. The fireworks are going. So no, he'll keep me informed. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. Let's go out to Ron in Jersey. Ron, you're next up on ESPN New York. Ron, what's going on, man?
Hey, if Dolan sells the Knicks, think of the scene in Fred Freeland's Day Off when they're on the float. That's what it'll be.
What is it? What happened there?
Think of the scene in Ferris Bueller's Day Off when
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, yeah. There was a report yesterday that James Dolan spinning off the teams into a different company that would make it easier to them sell. And the Garden came out and had a statement saying that they are not selling the teams at this time. All I will say, I don't know nothing about it. All I will say is that no one says they're selling anything until they're selling it. And usually, they're not even saying that they're selling it until it's sold. So just because there's a statement saying they're not selling them at this time, the key words there are at this time. I would be interested, though, and it's pretty clear, and people have brought this up, that James Dolan's not really like a sports guy. He's a music guy. He loves playing in his band, and that's what he wants to do and put out records. And the initial report was that this move was done to spin off the teams in a way so that he could focus on what is his real passion, which is music and building music arenas much more than sports arenas. And I would just say that if that turns out to be the case, I don't think that there's a single decision in this town that would make more sports fans happy, right or wrong, than James Dolan selling the Knicks. The funny thing to me would be when he decides to sell the Knicks and the announcement is, yes, they have been sold to the Wilpons. And then everybody will lose their ever-loving minds. Let's go out to Scott in Manhattan. Scott, you're next up on ESPN New York.
Hey, Gordon, how are you?
Hey, Scott.
You know, I was just, in reference to Tebow, do you think he can live up to the hype with the Mets if they call him up?
No. No, I don't. I don't know what the hype is, because if anybody looks at him as a player, just statistically, he does not belong on a major league team. He's not a major league prospect.
I 100% agree with you. It's like, you know, coming out of college, you know, to the NFL, and, you know, he comes to the Jets and all that good stuff, and it's just a bunch of hype. He you know, he's batting great in Double A, don't get me wrong, but you know, when it comes down to him coming up to the majors, I think he'll hit below 240, 230.
Oh, look, Scott, I mean, in terms of statistics, and you brought up, well, he's hitting great in Double A. He's really not. He's had a good month in Double A. I don't even know if it's a full month, but he's had like a little hot stretch. Believe it or not, people that have a hot stretch not everybody that has a hot stretch for a month in the minors gets called up to the major leagues. Make no mistake, that move is not about him as a prospect or how he do in the majors or anything like that. That's just simply a publicity stunt to sell some merchandise on a team that is going to be, at that point, I mean, look, I would think that they would take a long time before that actually happened. Like, I don't think that they're going to call up Tebow next week. I would think that that's a move that when rosters are expanded in September, although it's the Mets, who knows? When rosters are expanded in September, that's a move you're talking about. Not right now. Not right now. And I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. If the Mets have had a history of embarrassing things, either players or front office or however you want to do it, if the Mets actually decide to call up Tim Tebow, that will be the most embarrassing thing that's happened in the organization. That will automatically go to number one. That would be so bad. Oh, my. It's crazy to me the amount of support that the move seems to have. Because we like to, here in New York, make ourselves, well, you know, this is New York. This isn't Cleveland. That wouldn't fly here. We're too smart. We're too smart of fans to put, if the amount of support that Tim Tebow is getting in terms of a move being brought up to the majors, that kind of is an indicator that maybe we're not as smart as we think. 1-800-919-ESPN is the phone number. It's Gordon Damer filling in for Dave Rothenberg. Coming up, more of your phone calls, and we'll get into the Tebow stuff of whether or not he deserves to get called up, whether or not he's going to get called up, and just really, because you hear some numbers. Well, he hit 306 in June. All right. You want to get into numbers? We'll get into numbers. It won't be very long that we need to get into numbers before we realize the numbers aren't really a strong case for his argument of getting called up.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
ESPN New York. So we've been talking a lot about the baseball, Yankees continuing to fly high. And I made the comparison. The Yankees and Mets, they're kind of like that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry decides to get the first class seat in the Mets. They're much like Elaine, sitting back in coach and suffering every single moment of the day. And with the Mets being as bad as they are, and whether or not they get to last place this weekend or next weekend or Tuesday or Friday, they're going there. Barring some unforeseen shakeup where the team actually shows some fight and turns things around and stops just going through the motions, it's only a matter of time before the Mets are the worst team in the National League. I mean, the record speaks for itself. In the month of June, they have 5 wins. June is almost over, and they have 5 wins. But the real talking point lately has been about Tim Tebow. That at some point, it seems like he's going to get called up to the major leagues. The question really has been since last year. It was around, I guess, this time last year. People were bringing up, well, will the Mets bring him up? And at that time, it was pretty clear. If you called him up at that point, it was simply a publicity stunt. That's it. It was not because he was a real prospect for the major leagues. It was just simply somebody who had name recognition, who was playing minor league baseball, who was in the Mets organization. And when the season was lost like it was last year and losing 90 games, 90 plus games, the question was out there. But they decided not to do that. But this year, he's still playing minor league baseball, doing slightly better than he did last year. Yesterday, named as a Double-A All-Star. And you've heard the stat by now. He's hitting .306 in June. That's all well and good. But let's not pretend. Let's not. I know that there's this fake news. Let's stick to the facts, right? There is nothing. There is nothing in Tim Tebow's statistical profile that would warrant getting called up to the major leagues. I don't care if it's a nice story. I don't care. And I am someone who is not a Tim Tebow hater. I like the guy. I think he's an authentic person. And just taking it all away from everything else, the fact that he's been able to have this level of success in AA is incredible. It's incredible. Not playing baseball for, I think it was 12 years. And then getting back into it and being able to hit .250 in the minors. That's impressive. That said, that does not warrant getting called up to the major leagues. And anybody who just simply looks at the numbers could not debate that. Even while he's hitting .306 in June, his slash line this year in the minors, in AA, this year is .256 with a .329 on base percentage and a .391 slugging. So his OPS is .720 in the minors. He's not a catcher. He's somebody who you look at him, he's supposed to be an offensive player. He's not somebody who simply fills a need in one little niche that he could maybe be as a backup catcher. You get called up that way. No, he's supposed to be a hitter. He's supposed to be an outfielder who hits, and that's his stat line. Now look, as I said, being able to do that after not playing for as long, that's incredible, amazing. That does not warrant getting called up to the majors. And the things you hear as support for calling him up is mind-boggling. Well, you know, the Mets have been so bad. Why not? What is there to lose? How about your credibility? Is that worth anything to you? Your credibility as a professional sports team. Going once, going twice, sold. Well, you know, Gordon, it's the entertainment business. And if people are entertained by watching Tim Tebow, they sell some tickets, they should do it. What's to lose? I've heard this one as well. Well, bring him up. See if he can play. Is that how it works now? Bring him up and see if he can play. That's how we're running the organization now. Bring him up and see if he can play. And he's hitting over .300. Stop it. The Yankees at one point, I'm pretty sure it didn't call up Gleyber Torres because they weren't sure how he'd react to the cold. It was cold in the beginning of the year, and they were worried about how he didn't play games in cold weather. They didn't know. That's covering all your bases. That's not, hey, let's call up this publicity stunt and see how he does on the major league team. And as I said, the Mets have had a history. And look, each team, people forget now, the Yankees had their run where things were embarrassing and they turned things around because they put people in the right position and they run things the right way. And now they're kind of the gold standard in this town, right, of success. They have been for a while. But the Mets have had a series in their franchise history of embarrassing things. And you can go through them. We can all remember them. Depends on how old you are. But the first thing I think back to Brett Saberhagen and Vince Coleman's days, or K-Rod fighting his father-in-law and hurting his thumb, or firing Willie Randolph when you fly out to the West Coast and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're firing the poor guy. Or Anthony Young. Remember him? They lost 27 games in a row. There was actually one I learned about this week. I guess it was the 62 Mets. Thornberry had a triple in a game, and he was called out because he missed first and second base. That's a pretty good one. You not only missed first base, you also missed second base. There's been a lot of them. The mascot giving the old salute, what was that, last year? Batting out of order. There's been a long line of mistakes and embarrassing things. And if you're a fan, it pains you to see these things. But make no mistake, if they decide to call up Tim Tebow when nothing in his statistical profile warrants being a major league player, do you realize that in the history of baseball, which has been going on for 100 years, there's been like 19,000 people in the history of Major League Baseball that have played Major League Baseball. That's it. 19,000. That's not a lot. And yet you're going to call up this guy when it's clear there's nothing. Even now, in 645 minor league at-bats, he struck out 215 times. He's basically struck out one out of every three times. And that's at double A. Do you think it's going to get better in the majors? Of course not. Stop it. And for Met fans or people who are saying, well, it's not that bad, especially Yankee people, think about how Yankee people actually feel. And if this doesn't make you go off the idea of bringing him up and seeing how he can do, or maybe it's a good idea, you know Yankee fans will be absolutely laughing at the prospect of bringing this guy up basically to sell some T-shirts. And that's what the move would be. To sell some T-shirts and to try to stay relevant in a season when you're going to lose at least 90 games. That's embarrassing. And that's worse than anything that the Mets... All those other things that I've mentioned, and even some of the ones that I didn't, they were all errors that, you know, you can't control everything. But the goal was always to try and make a better team. Like when they fired Willie Randolph, they did it in a horrible way. But I think the idea was, well, look, we're slumping. We can't get out of our own way. We got to make a change. The idea was, hey, we still got to get better. This is not about getting better at all. This is that we're cashing in our chips. There's nothing for us to do. Let's just sell our souls to sell a couple of T-shirts. That's bad. That's as bad as anything that has ever happened to the organization. 1-800-919-ESPN, 1-800-919-3776. Coming up, we'll get more of your phone calls about Tim Tebow and the Mets and whether or not. Convince me. If it's such a simple case to make, convince me. Because there's nothing about him that, and while I like his story, it's fantastic, and I'm sure if he came up, I'm sure he'd do some one thing spectacular. But that doesn't mean that it should happen. The fact that you're trying to stretch and find one thing that might be a positive is a sign that you shouldn't make the move. If no other reason, that's a pretty good indicator that no, that's not something you should do.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.
People are kind of misconstruing the fact that what Tebow has done is being amazing. And there's no question that being able to do what he's done so far is incredible. But that doesn't, they have a hard time reconciling the fact that that doesn't mean that he should get called up. Did you see batting practice at Yankee Stadium yesterday? Odell Beckham Jr. was at Yankee batting practice yesterday taking some swings. Now, he's done this in the past. I think he did it, was it with the Angels?
Angel Stadium, yep.
Stadium. Yeah, he did it with the Angels and hit one out and did the same thing yesterday. And I don't know how many home runs he hit during batting practice. I think it was more than one yesterday. But there's no question that guy is an incredible athlete. The hand-eye coordination that he has to be able to power home runs in batting, that's incredible.
And apparently his best sport is soccer.
Right. Well, you can see that. I mean, the guy's an incredible. I'm sure every sport, if he played basketball, he would be good. If he tried track and field, he's an amazing athlete. He's gone into football, and that's probably the area where he feels like he could make the most money or the one that he's the best at, whatever. That's fine. But Odell Beckham Jr., that would not be a sign, well, you know what, the Yankees should be trying to pursue Odell Beckham Jr. to play the outfield. No, he's good. And for all the people tweeting out, well, maybe, you know, the Mets are interested in Tebow. Maybe they should get Odell Beckham Jr. No. Make no mistake. If Odell's going anywhere, he's going for money. Money. Now, if you want to offer a whole lot of money, then you might get Odell, you might perk his interest. or pique his interest or something with his interest. But no, he's not going to play baseball. The Yankees shouldn't be trying to sign Odell Beckham Jr. And the Mets should not be offering a spot on the major league roster to Tim Tebow. Imagine you're one of the Mets and you've toiled away trying to get to the major league. You finally get to the major leagues. And here comes a guy who's a very popular person. Big name who has hit 250 in the minors and now is getting the same opportunity as you. Boy, that would make me scratch my head. That would make me scratch my head.
The Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN.